And if you have a Bible with you today, I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and open it up to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in the pew directly in front of you. Feel free to go ahead and grab that. And if you're not familiar with the book of Exodus, it's the second book in the Bible immediately after the book of Genesis. Today, we are continuing our series in which we've entitled The 10 Greatest Statements in History. Now, if you're jumping in fresh today, over the past several weeks, what we've been doing is we've been unpacking or exploring what we commonly refer to as the 10 Commandments. Now, many times when we think of the 10 Commandments, our minds sometimes kind of go to this place where we think of these legalistic laws, these laws in which God is saying, you better do this or else. But I think that what we've been discovering over the past several weeks is that when we look at the Ten Commandments within their context, both textually and historically, what we've discovered is they're not just arbitrary laws, but they're one of the means in which God reveals his grace to us. Meaning this, that the 10 statements, the 10 commandments we find are actually redemptive. That God gave them to us not to scare us, not to say you better or else, but he gave them to us to transform our minds, to renew our minds, to begin to see the world as God created it to be. These statements give us a new perspective. They help us understand about who God is and about how he created us to walk out our lives here on this earth. We've seen in the first couple weeks that God reveals not only who he is, but the role that he desires to have in our lives. And then we began to unpack God's desire for a just society. A society marked by things like honor, forgiveness, faithfulness, and last week we discovered generosity. Well, just as in the third commandment, we discovered how God wants us to speak of him. This week, he turns the attention and he says, you've learned how to speak of me, now learn how to speak of one another. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, if you've ever been exposed to the 10 commandments, it's likely that you have heard this statement before, or some sort of variation of it, which is usually this, do not lie, right? That's usually kind of how we hear this statement presented. And when we think of lying, we tend to usually kind of categorize it. Big lies, little lies. So, for example, right, the big lies, that's the stuff that we do to get out of something. Big lies are the things we say to kind of cover our tracks, to avoid the consequences of actions. We might say things like, no, I wasn't out with. I didn't go there. There are things that we do to cover our trail. Most people understand that that's wrong, that we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't be deceptive in that way. But then there's this other category, what we call kind of the small lies. These are the things that we don't really think harms anyone. So many times, maybe we engage in them, right? We don't feel like going to work. We don't feel like taking a test today. So we say, I'm not feeling too well, right? We call them the white lies, big and little. Well, while both of these are a form of dishonesty, and Scripture teaches us to avoid such things, to limit this statement to that idea of, right, these big and little lies, I would submit to you today, misses part of what this statement is trying to make known to us. That this statement is not simply about don't lie, don't try to cover your tracks, don't say things to get out of doing things, but they center on how we speak of others or to others. Or more directly, what our words and actions lead people to think of others. Now, to make sense of that, I want to unpack it a little bit. First and foremost, if you were to open up kind of a Hebrew lexicon and you were to look this statement up, you'll find some interesting things. So this statement, you shall not bear, the definition of that simply is this, or what it means is to answer or to respond. To answer or respond. False, I think we all have a concept of that. It's deception. It's a falsehood. And then witness, this word witness means, interestingly enough, witness means witness. So, right, this is to know by personal presence or its evidence. Or its evidence. So we could say this, that a good definition of this statement, I kind of made this, I wrote this week, a false witness is someone who presents false evidence about or to another. A false witness is someone who presents false evidence about or to another. Now, this could be intentionally fabricating something and then sharing that information that you know is false. So someone makes up a lie about another person. They say something to tarnish their reputation and then spread it. Or, that's one way, or it could be even maybe unintentionally passing along false information. Right? To be a false witness doesn't mean that you have to fabricate it, but it means that you are passing along false information or basically giving evidence that would make a person view another in a different way. In our world today, we have terms for this. We call it slander. We call it gossip. And Scripture tells us that God wants us to not have any part with it. Matter of fact, Jesus takes this so serious that in Matthew chapter 8, he's dealing with the topic of dishonesty. And he says this, that dishonesty is motivated by the devil, by Satan, the enemy. In Revelation chapter 21, John receives this revelation from Jesus. And he says that those who live lives marked by dishonesty, to not be deceived, they'll have no place in the kingdom of God. God seems to take this stuff really, really serious. He doesn't pull any punches. Which makes me go, God, you know, there's some things in the Bible that it's a little gray. There are conversations about Scripture that go, man, it seems to be there's Scripture that kind of says yes to this and no to this. And then there's other Scripture that seems pretty black and white. And if you're a follower of Jesus, I would suggest to you that this is one of those topics that's pretty black and white. God doesn't seem to give us any room to go, well, you know, there's this situation in which I gotta. He says, no, don't do this. And I gotta tell you how serious it is. It puts a wall between us and God. Well, why is that? This is why I believe that dishonesty is inconsistent or incompatible with being a follower of Jesus. And that is because of this. Lying is inconsistent with the character of God. Listen to what Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says. This is Paul who's speaking. He says, God who never lies. God who never lies. John 1, 14, John, when speaking about Jesus, says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus' very nature reveals truth. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is getting ready to ascend to heaven. He has died on the cross. He has risen from the grave. He's getting ready to ascend. And he says this, "You, my disciples, now you go be witness to this truth." Think about this, right? John says that Jesus came and he reveals truth. His very nature reveals truth. And Jesus says, all right, now you, if you are my disciple, you go and you be witness to this truth. If you are a follower of Jesus, your words not only serve as a testimony for your character, but people will take them to represent God's character as well. I think that's something very important for us to consider. That when a person professes publicly to be a follower of Jesus and does things in a dishonest way, not only will it tarnish that person's reputation, but people will reflect that onto God and think the same of him. And we see how this lines up with statement number three, if you were here for that, is it would make people speak of God in ways that are inappropriate, to take his name in vain. We said that there's these two ways in which we can bear false witness. By deliberately fabricating untruthful statements, or by spreading false information through gossip. Now, the reason why both of these are contrary to the life that God wants for his people is because it allows our audience to believe things about an individual that are untruthful. And usually the outcome of that is a tarnished or destroyed reputation. Let me share with you an article I ran across this week. I have a picture here. This here is Monica Glennon. She's a realtor who lives in Huntsville, Alabama. You can look her up if you'd like. Do a simple Google search. Monica was living the American dream. She was originally born in Poland, and then she was Polish and moved here. And she married a Marine Corps veteran, had two children who grew up to join the military themselves, had a very successful career in real estate. And then in September of 2015, she received a call from one of her work colleagues. And her work colleague informed her that someone had posted something on their real estate company's Facebook site about her. Monica said that she thought that maybe someone left her a bad review. Maybe someone didn't like her services that she provided as a realtor. It would have been wonderful if all it was a bad review. Instead of a bad review, it was a link to a story on a website called She's a Homewrecker. And the story claimed that a couple had hired Monica to be their realtor. And it was a husband and a wife. And the wife was one day running late, so she called to say that she was going to be late for a showing, but they should go ahead and check it out. The article continued and said that when the wife arrived late, she went upstairs or into the bedroom, wherever it was, to find her husband and Monica engaged in an adulterous affair. She even claimed that while they tried to compose themselves, she was able to snap a picture for evidence, and that she then used that evidence to divorce her husband and clean him out. Well, Monica insisted that this story was fabricated, but the story went viral and was reposted to multiple sites, including one site called Bad Biz Report, where it was viewed over 95,000 times. And it quickly became the top search result for Monica's name on Google. You ever type in Google and it pops up suggestions? This is what it's popped up for her. Due to the allegations, Monica's listings dropped immediately by about half. Women stopped requesting her. Men requested her for the wrong reasons. And she estimated to have lost $200,000 in business. Well, eventually, after a long legal case and $100,000 in attorney fees, the truth came out. The story was completely fabricated. Monica had never even met the person who made these claims against her. And in court, it finally came out that what had happened was that Monica had made a comment to a news article on Facebook, to which another woman took offense to, and fabricated a story that basically destroyed her life. Think about that. This woman's reputation was destroyed. Her life turned upside down because of a false witness. This is exactly why God gave us the ninth commandment. It's also why the Bible says that no allegation should be believed unless there's 2 to 3 witnesses. It says that multiple times. But you know what this, or we all probably know this, that in the age of the internet and social media, all it takes is one lie to destroy someone's life. Now, you're probably like me and you're thinking this. When I read this story, I was like, that is crazy. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I can't imagine what this woman and what her family went through. I can't. And I remember the thought kind of like, man, like I would never do something like that to someone. And then this thought hit me. Only one person fabricated a story about this woman. Everyone else just shared it. Think about that. Yes, one person flat out fabricated something, made something up, told this story. But the rest of them just passed along the information. They gossiped. And it ruined this lady's life. How many times have we heard something about someone? Oh, they supposedly said this, or they were hurt by this person, or this person didn't do this, or whatever it is. We hear stories. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? And we pass it along. How many times have we gotten a phone call and then, right, the next response is to call someone else? We do that. And we think, well, I'm not lying. I'm not bearing false witness. But many times we are, because we're passing along false information. We're giving false evidence that influences how others look at situations and at people. Never stopping to ask if the information is true, let alone if it's something that we should be sharing at all. I want to do a fun little test with you. So I have a picture up here, and I want you to describe this picture to me as if I had never seen it. Tell me what's on the picture. How would you describe it? Right? If I was blind and I said, what are you looking at? What would you say? 3 cars. What's that? 3 cars on a road. What's going on in this picture? Okay, so there's 2 parked cars. There's 1 driving down the road. All right. Where are they driving? Well, I mean, it looks like, right, there's some trees in the background. There's looks like there's some homes. Maybe this is a residential area. Maybe it's a neighborhood. So again, if I'm blind and you're telling me this story, right, I've never seen this picture, in my mind, okay, I have 2 cars parked on the side of the road in what might be a neighborhood, some sort of residential area, there's some trees and houses, and it sounds like there's a car driving down the road. Is that accurate? We feel very convinced that that is what this picture shows. Yes? Yes. Next picture. This is what the picture really is. And if you can't tell, it's a table set up with three toy cars on it. Three toy cars that the camera perfectly aligns to create the image that we've seen beforehand. This is a lot like gossip. We paint a picture, we share information, and we might even be very convinced that it's true. But it's not really what's going on. And Scripture warns us not to do that. Not to do that. And I'm going to be honest with you. Hopefully I can do that as your pastor. This is rampant in the American church. This is rampant in the American church. Gossip, spreading rumors, saying things, sharing information that doesn't need to be shared. And here's the reality, and we all do this. I do this, you do this, everyone does this. When we hear a story, when we retell it, we always put a little spin on it. We always put a little spin on it. We emphasize things that maybe weren't supposed to be emphasized. We get a couple details out of sync. We filter it through our own morality and our own thoughts and feelings, and then we retell that story. It's like when we were kids and you would play the telephone game, right? Where you'd whisper in one person's ear, who would then whisper in another person's ear, who would then whisper in a, right? And by the time it went all the way around the circle, it'd get back to you and it was completely different. It was completely different. Bible says, if we're followers of Jesus, not to engage in this. Matter of fact, this is what Paul, you can go ahead and put that up, Ephesians 4, this is what Paul says. We should speak as the church. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. When we speak of others, when we speak to others, is that which we say, does it build up? Does it extend grace? Or does it tear down? Does it spread strife? Does it possibly spread lies? If so, that's exactly why God gave us this commandment. Now, with that, I want to say this, that he didn't give us this statement so we could be condemned. He didn't give it so we could feel like God could never forgive us or that we're completely lost. Because here's the reality. Every single person in this room, self included, with both hands, has done this. We have all lied. We have all shared information we shouldn't have shared. We have all gossiped. We have all said things and allowed a lie to continue to be spread by our lips. All of us have. So what do? If you're sitting here today right now and you feel like God is tugging on your heart, if God's bringing something to mind, then I want to encourage you to do a couple things. First and foremost, don't allow the enemy to condemn you. God never condemns. God convicts. Let me say that again. God doesn't condemn. God convicts. God convicts us. God shows something to our heart. He draws something to our mind, and he says, this isn't my best for you. And he calls us to turn from it. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't tell us, right, I'm going to get you. He says, turn from it. God convicts. And if you feel condemned, that's the enemy. And don't listen to that voice. Secondly, confess your sin. First and foremost, to God. And then to the person or persons who have been deceived. This is a tough one. Right? First and foremost, we have to go to God and say, God, all right, I've stepped out of how you created me to speak about others. So I need your forgiveness. And then we need to go to others and say, you know what? What I said wasn't completely accurate. Or what I said didn't help build up. What I said led you to believe something that wasn't true. And I'm sorry. And we need to ask for forgiveness. And then we need to do whatever is in our power. This is number three, to bring healing to the situation. Which might look like having some really difficult conversations, or it might look like making a lot of sacrifices. We talked about this gal, this realtor. How the story ended was the women actually ended up meeting at a coffee shop. Monica, she found out the gal's name. She reached out to her and said, I want to meet you. I want to talk. And they met and they talked. And she shared part of her life and she shared what was going on. And the woman repented. And she even wrote to every one of the online places, like, please remove these. I invented this story. I mean, took out Facebook stuff. I mean, totally owned it. There's been multiple news articles written about it. And did it hurt her reputation? Absolutely. But she took ownership of it. And she did everything in her power to heal the situation. Maybe you don't need to take out a Facebook ad. But might we need to go to someone and say, you know what? When I spoke about that person to you, it led you to believe things about them that wasn't true, and it hurt your relationship with them. I'm sorry. Right? That's how God wants us to speak of people in ways that reveals his love, his grace, and his truth. And my prayer for us as a community is that we will be people who are witnesses to the truth of Jesus. So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for your grace and your mercy. God, as we have wrestled with this ninth commandment, we recognize, Lord, that it's a difficult one because all of us are guilty of having misspoken, of having deliberately fabricated things, of having passed along information that's not true. We've all bore false witness. And Lord, the only thing we can do is ask that you would forgive us for that. Lord, may your grace cover our sins. And Lord, may your spirit strengthen us, God, that when opportunities arise in life where we can be deceptive, where we can gossip, where we can pass along things that shouldn't be passed along. God, that we would stand strong and that we would resist that temptation that would dishonor you and your church and the call that you have given to us. Lord, I thank you that your grace covers all sins, that there's no sin that's greater than your love. We thank you, Lord, that when you convict, you do it so that way we would turn to a better life, a life of following you and receiving your blessings. Father, I pray for everyone in this room, God, that you would just continue to minister to them. Lord, you continue to open their hearts to receive what you have for them. And Lord, most importantly, I pray that if there's anyone in this room, Jesus, who does not know you as their Lord and Savior, God, that you would minister their heart in that, Lord, you would reveal yourself, and God, that they would respond to that with faith and repentance, making you the Lord of their life. Jesus, we love you, and we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Well, this morning, normally we do a song of response, but we knew service would be a little bit longer with baptism and stuff, so I'm just going to invite our deacons up as we receive this morning's offering. If you are a guest today, please by no means feel obligated. This is something that if we as members of a community, we join together to celebrate and as well as to support the ministries here. So again, if you're a guest, please do not feel obligated to give. But let's say a quick prayer for our offerings today. Lord, as we receive these offerings, we pray, God, that you would be honored in them. Lord, may these resources go forth and may they be used so more people could hear the gospel. And Lord, as we step into faith, as we give, when it's so tempting to keep, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us, that you would expand our faith, and Lord, that you would bless us and take care of all of our needs. Jesus, we trust you, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Awesome. Well, we do have a couple quick announcements. When you came in this morning, you likely got a bulletin. If you look in that, I want to draw your attention to just a couple quick things. First and foremost, on your insert that says, it starts out on the top, it says children's ministry, and then it says student ministry. This is just a reminder, due to the holiday, we had a couple little changes in our student ministry. Tonight at 5 o'clock, our junior high students are going to be meeting. They're going to have a fun night. There's going to be some food. There's going to be a movie. So they're meeting at the Parsonage. So if you're a parent of a 6th through 8th grader, just a reminder. And for our 6th through 8th graders, it is also a reminder for you. And then last week, we began talking about an opportunity in which we could bless others in our community. And I told you we'd be getting some more information. And to do that, Rhonda is going to come up, and she's going to share a little bit with us about it, the blue insert in your bulletin.
Good morning. Normally, I talk to 5 and 6-year-olds, so I'm a little bit nervous. All right, I've been teaching for Waupani Area School District for the last 19 years, and it's always been in kindergarten, and we're beginning to see a growing need for the number of students that do not have what they need for the winter months. Currently, over 40% of our 300 students actually qualify for free and reduced lunch, which actually means about 120 of our students. And many of the students that do have the winter gear, it's usually used, so it really is hard to make it through the winter. Elto Reformed Church is actually going to be helping support the needs of the students at Rock River, but we would like to reach out to the students at my school through our church. And there's a few ways that you can help. You can either help to find ways to donate very gently used items, and you can place those in the box that's across from the elevator. Or you can purchase one or more of the items that would be listed on the insert that the pastor actually just mentioned. We also will be taking monetary donations, and these are actually the most beneficial because then we can purchase the exact sizes that the students actually need. And at the Christmas service on the 23rd, we'll be taking the offering through the white envelope. On the back, there's a little table. I put a bunch of little envelopes. If you would like to put a donation, you can bring them into the church office, and Rachel said she would collect them. So I don't know if anyone has any questions, but my information is on the bottom of the blue sheet, and if you wanted to ask me any questions after this service, I'm also available.
Thank you so much.
The force is strong with this one. All right. Here we go. Well, what a great opportunity that we can be a blessing here in our community of Waupun. So if you're able to, we'd love for you to partner with us and engage in this. So will you please stand with me this morning? Please don't forget, there is lots of tasty treats downstairs. So we invite you down to have a cup of coffee, have some snacks. Megan and Levi, if they're hanging out a little bit, you can say congratulations to them and Easton. Well, my friends, as we leave this building, we carry with us the greatest news that the world has ever heard. And that is this: we live in a world where a resurrection has happened. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. My friends, that changes everything. So may you go and may you carry this good news with you. And may you share it with those that you encounter. Grace be with you.